With over 450 million users, LinkedIn is the world's largest professional network. It's a powerful tool for both individuals and companies looking to make new connections, generate leads, and build their brand. How can marketers take advantage of the professional social network? Enter Candice Golic. Candice is the founder of a luxury bikini brand called Bikini Lux, and her main social media channel is LinkedIn. Candice grew her bikini brand using a professional social network. Let's find out how she did it.
Definitely. And that's the fun part about being an entrepreneur is, you know, making your own rules and crossing lines and boundaries and figuring out what works and what doesn't.
I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer. Buffer is a simple way to manage your social media. Let's kick things off with my chat with Candice. Hi, Candice. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you are the founder of Bikini Lux, this amazing luxury swimwear company, and it's pretty uncommon to see any sort of apparel company on LinkedIn, but in particular swimwear. This is very interesting to me. And you've grown your whole business, and LinkedIn has been a really big part of it. And early on, that's what you decided to focus on as one of your primary social networks. Can you tell me a little bit about that process and how that came about?
Of course. So what happened early on was that I made it my primary focus to understand platforms and to figure out what makes them tick. You know, like what makes, if it's a social shopping platform, what makes a product land in the top boxes when you sign in? Like, how do people see you? So I had already had a good understanding of a few other platforms, and we were doing really, really well on Pinterest. And I realized that I was neglecting the business world. I was neglecting the LinkedIn demographic. So I joined LinkedIn like every other person, looking for connections and kind of to be taken more seriously. And really early on, I noticed that I was getting a lot more interaction on those posts than I was, say, a standard Facebook post or an Instagram post. I was getting more comments and more real comments, like people genuinely giving their feedback or their opinion and really going into depth. And it just kind of spiraled out of control from there. And I just continued to pose questions to people because it seems like on LinkedIn, they just love to answer and give their feedback. So it's insane, honestly. It's still probably the largest engagement that I get out of any platform.
That's so impressive for LinkedIn. I really like that you had such genuine engagement going from the get-go there. That's definitely very unique.
Yeah, and it wasn't expected. I didn't expect to take off so quickly, but I'm really excited that it did.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned Pinterest, and that's like immediately what my mind would jump to. If you were like, I'm the founder of a bikini company, I'd be like, oh, so you're on Pinterest and like maybe Instagram. But then you're like, no, I rock it on LinkedIn. And I'm like, wait, where, what?
I know. And that's where I think it's important too. We are on Pinterest and every other platform. And I think even on Pinterest, we get like over 2 million hits per month on our boards, but it's just different. You know, there people there, they're looking to collect, they're looking to buy, but they're not necessarily looking to have a conversation with you.
Definitely. So LinkedIn is your top platform in terms of engagement?
In terms of likes and shares and comments, yes.
And do you use mostly, because you're mentioning that you were posting these from your personal profile, and do you use that a little bit more than you might say use a business page on LinkedIn, or what's the ratio there?
Yeah, I definitely use my personal much more than the business page. I think that it's more relatable and people are more apt to having a conversation with a person versus a brand. And I mean, at this point, Bikini Lux is essentially my baby and my brand. So I talk about it a lot on my personal page and they just kind of get intertwined.
Yeah, that's a really good point about people looking to engage more with people versus brands. And I think on LinkedIn too, the thing that happens is that people are there to connect with influencers, and LinkedIn has this enormous prioritization of people being influencers on the platform and looking to connect with each other. So it's quite powerful that you've used that and using yourself as an influencer to connect with your audience instead of just trying to push your brand forward. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that is true. And I've never really been an influencer, you know, and on the other platforms, I'm kind of quiet. So for me to come out as an influencer after my business was created is interesting.
So we talked about this a little bit before, and I'd love to dive in even further. This was before we clicked record here, but you have some really cool LinkedIn tricks and tips that people would probably not regularly expect. And I would love for you to talk about those a little bit for our audience to get to take advantage of too.
Sure. So if we're talking maybe some features that make LinkedIn more powerful than others for me, I would say that we're talking the demographic of people. You know, they don't spend a tremendous amount of time on social media in general. I think something like 83% of LinkedIn users don't even use Pinterest, and 59% don't use Twitter. So I feel like those people, while they're on the platform, they're actually making their point known, and that's why they engage more, because they put their energy into that one platform. And I think they only spend around like 17 minutes on LinkedIn each day, so it's not a lot of time. But what's nice about LinkedIn is that you're able to garner a lot of engagement, because no matter whether someone comments positively or negatively on your post, it then gets shown to all of their connections. So it's almost like, you know how people say that referrals from your friends are like the best ones that a business can have because they're trustworthy and they're taken seriously? Well, when your friend is commenting on something on LinkedIn, you want to look at it and you want to know what's going on. So it really helped drive that brand awareness, which a lot of other social platforms, they don't have that capability.
That is such a good point. You know, I hadn't thought about how LinkedIn shows posts that you comment on to your network, but I did see that recently and this post popped up and I was like, oh, this is cool. Why am I seeing this? And then I realized it was because someone in my network had commented. So their comment was highlighted, but ultimately I still saw the post. So that's very true. That's a very powerful, powerful part of LinkedIn.
Yeah. And it became so crazy that I had to start creating posts to inform people of how to stop seeing my profile on LinkedIn, because they just didn't know how. They're like, I just don't know how to get rid of you other than to report you. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I mean, there should be another way, but let me tell you how to do it because I get it.
That is hilarious. You had to tell people how to leave, how to get off of the profile if they didn't want to.
Yeah. They're like, I'm really sorry to say this. You're really nice, but I just don't want to see you every day. And I'm like, okay.
In terms of almost like LinkedIn hacks that you use, we talked super briefly about one that you used, which was updating your status, not your status, your job description on LinkedIn almost.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been saving that one. I like that one a lot. So if you've ever updated your job on your LinkedIn profile, you may have noticed that you got a few messages in return of people congratulating you. So when you get a new job and you update your profile, what happens? It sends an alert out to about 10% of your connections that you've got a new job. And a decent amount of them will probably congratulate you, because that's what people do, whether you're on Facebook and it's your birthday and then all of a sudden your page is full of Facebook birthday notifications. It's very similar to that. But what people don't realize or they don't think to do is it's an empty space. You can put whatever you want there. So if you want to notify about 10% of your connections about anything, let's say you sell clothing and you have a new line coming out, or let's say that you want to be nominated for something. Like I wanted to be nominated for a TED Talk. So I said, hey, listen, everyone, nominate me. Here's the link. And a bunch of people went out and nominated me. And it's as easy as that. So not only do you push the information into their line of sight, but you also begin communication with potentially thousands of people. So for me, if I have 30,000 connections and 3,000 people get a notification, then you get about, I don't know, let's say 1,000 new messages congratulating you. But what you can do with those messages is reply, number one, which is kind. And number two, you can then direct them somewhere else. You can be like, thank you so much for your kind words. I have this new post. I'd love you to read it. You might find some helpful tips, blah, blah, blah. So you can really direct people in a lot of ways. And what happened with me is I asked them to nominate me for a TED Talk, and so many people nominated me that the form ended up breaking down. Which
That's
is,
amazing.
I know, I felt really bad. I was like, okay, they're like, it's not working. I'm like, yes, you've broken it. I'm sorry.
We've officially broken the TED Talk nomination form.
Yes. Like, so thank you, everybody. And that will be in the works shortly. So that's awesome. But that's the opportunity there. So that's a good trick that not a lot of people take advantage of.
Honestly, you blew my mind when you first told me about that trick. And now I can't stop looking for ways that it can be used. And one of the things that I've seen other founders do, especially at really fast growing startups, is they change their description to be like, we're hiring. And
yes,
that will send out a notification. And like, who doesn't want to work at some of these super cool companies? So I think that, and LinkedIn, of course, is the best network for that, for recruiting. So I think there are a lot of really neat ways that businesses can tap into that if they want to be more creative.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if a social platform gives you an option and it's a blank field, what you need to not do is, if they tell you this, if they say, this is where you put your title, you don't just put your title there. You got to spice it up.
I like it. That's awesome. What's really cool about everything that you've said so far is that it is very personal because it is coming from you and you're the one responding to these messages. So I think that's another part of this strategy that's very unique to me, is how one-to-one this is.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in the beginning, I'll say more so, I took the time, the hours and hours and hours on end to respond to every single person. And that really helped to grow a loyal following because they're like, wow, I'm actually speaking to you. And it's like, yes, hi, how are you? What's going on? And that is really nice. But as it goes on, when you're getting like thousands of messages at once from, let's say it's your birthday and you have thousands of happy birthday messages, it just gets to be a lot.
Yeah, definitely. This is such a good point. We did a podcast interview a little while ago with Daniel DiPiazza. He's the founder of Rich 20 something. And he had very similar advice in terms of being one-on-one with people in the beginning. It's not scalable, but he called it rolling out the red carpet for everyone in the beginning. You can't scale it, but it is just like such a nice way to build a following and a community in the early days. You've done a lot of really neat things on LinkedIn. Like we've gone over, it's so cool that you're going to have a TED Talk coming out. And you've also mentioned that LinkedIn helped get you a column at Inc. So how did that come about?
Well, that was really fun. So, so all the posting that I was doing on LinkedIn was getting a lot of traction, which was great. But figuring out how to like maybe monetize that and everything, it becomes difficult. And then after a while, you're always looking for more. I'm always looking for more. So what happened with Inc. was that I essentially broke out my little black book, right? So I call my LinkedIn community my little black book because they're just full of business connections. So I wrote 10 articles and I gave them to one of my connections who was an editor at a major publication. We had spoken and he said, yeah, like send it over. Let me take a look. So he chose his favorite one out of the 10. I then gave that one that he liked to another connection of mine who was a reporter for Time Magazine, who had agreed to help me out, and he said that he would proofread it and fix it up for me. I said, great, because I have no formal training on how to write an actual article that should be published online besides my blogs and whatever I do normally. Then I connected to about 100 people who worked for Inc., let's say via Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it may be, and started liking their posts, commenting, engaging, just really making myself kind of just friends with everybody, which is what I like to be. I like to become acquaintances with everyone. And I started planting seeds in their ears about wanting to write for Inc. And in my submission, I said that I wanted to not only be a contributor, but that I wanted to be a columnist, because if I'm going to do it, I got to do it big. And it was bold, but it ended up working. They liked the article that I had some help with. They brought me on, gave me a test run, and they liked the content that I produced, and that's how I got my column.
That is very cool. I really like that you are leveraging LinkedIn so well for exactly what it is intended for, which is connecting professionals.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that a lot of people miss that. They just see the imagery and a lot of the things I post on LinkedIn, they may not exactly be what I would love to post all the time, but they work. They get engagement and they continue to build my list of connections and whatnot. So I do it, but you're definitely seeing more of what I'm interested in now through my column and through some of the other stuff that I'm doing.
Those people who miss the point of LinkedIn sometimes, what advice would you potentially have for them in terms of doing something similar to what you've done and taking those connections that you have that, you know, sometimes it's just a number. It's like followers on Twitter. So I think maybe it's a step up from that because on LinkedIn you've both opted in. How do you take those connections and turn them into real business contacts that, you know, you have a real relationship with?
Yeah, I would say that something that I'm never afraid to admit is that I ask questions and I ask for help. And I recommend that everyone does the same. So in turning connections into business contacts, I think that it's important to be straightforward with people. We're all busy. We all have a life and a job and whatnot. So we don't have a lot of time to waste. So be straightforward and be honest. Don't be afraid to ask questions, ask for help, ask for a favor. What's the worst that could happen by asking? They can say no. Okay, great, you move on. Also, do your best to turn those into long-lasting business relationships and don't just kind of leave it as a one-and-done situation because then it's a lot of work. You're always looking for new people because you're just burning and you're kind of churning through them. And also, I think that it's really important to offer your help in return if they ever need it. If they need help with social sharing, or if they have a new book coming out and they want you to help spread the word, like just do your best to be a good business acquaintance or friend back to them because they've gone out of their way to help you.
I love it. It sounds like ask and offer are two key parts of this equation.
Yeah, definitely. And you don't want it to be parasitic.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you mentioned something briefly earlier on monetizing LinkedIn interactions, and I'm super curious how that works and how it feeds into your overall business as well. I don't think I've ever heard the term monetizing LinkedIn interactions before, so I'm very curious.
That is funny. Well, to begin with, starting out, what I saw was with the increase of viewership. So a lot of my posts did link back to Bikini Lux. A lot of the imagery did. So even when I wasn't linking, say, let's say to a specific product, but I was kind of using our lookbook lifestyle imagery in there, people were commenting and asking where they could buy the product in the post. So I was like, oh, well, if people are interested in buying it, I'm just going to link to it every time. So what I saw then was an increase of 20% thanks to the LinkedIn community. So that was one way to monetize it. But also, I think that the option to diversify and kind of create an additional brand for myself was another way to monetize it. I never thought about creating a Candace Gallick brand per se, but it's offered me the opportunity to speak to people and find out where they're struggling in their business and kind of help them overcome obstacles. So that's another way that I've been able to monetize LinkedIn, I guess, is to monetize the connections and create the opportunity to business coaching and consulting and public speaking with something I'm getting into, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's just I love the way that you've approached social media here. I feel like you're challenging all of the like hard rules.
Definitely. And that's the fun part about being an entrepreneur is, you know, making your own rules and crossing lines and boundaries and figuring out what works and what doesn't.
So for someone who maybe is just starting out from scratch on LinkedIn, like they haven't set up a profile before, but they listen to this podcast and they're like, maybe this is a good idea for me. What are some ways that they can start? And also in here, I'd love to talk about oversight marketing, because that's something that we talked about before the podcast that also kicked off your influence on LinkedIn too. So if we could dive into that a little.
So I think some of the important starting points for someone on LinkedIn, and even someone who's been on LinkedIn, maybe you need to reevaluate these areas because we're not all doing it right all the time. Is I think with there being over 106 million active monthly users on LinkedIn, it can be really difficult to stand out from the crowd. And I think that it's important to infuse your own personality into your profile. You know, I look at so many people's profiles every single day, and they literally just blend together. They're all structured the same. There's not a lot of color. It's very just black and white. Here's my info. It's kind of boring. So it's hard to stand out. And you need to use your creative writing skills to kind of outpace the competition. So I think that it's important wherever there's text to be added, just go a little above and beyond. Just take that extra few minutes to think out what you're going to say and don't just leave an area blank. Also, take advantage of the 120 character headline area. And don't only include your job title. You know, include maybe your motto, a brief description of what you do, or maybe what you're known for. Like in mine, I think that it says something about being a disruptor. And I have a bunch of emojis in mine, which we talked about emojis.
They're great.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're looking at a black and white profile and then you see somebody that has emojis, you're like, what is this? Also, you have like 2,000 characters of prime real estate to describe who you are and what you do up front. It's important to take advantage of that and fill it in with information that'll show up in an SEO search. What else? Oh, recommendations. Have at least two recommendations for each of your most important former positions. And sometimes you have to do a little bit of work to get what you want. Not everything is going to come freely. So by racking up, or I'm sorry, not by racking up, but by offering other people endorsements, they feel comfortable in endorsing you back, which will help you build up your numbers. And I think that all those are just really small things, but at the end of the day, when you pair them all together, your profile will stand out from someone else's if you have those things down pat.
Yeah, this is amazing because I have spent quite a bit of time in my LinkedIn profile, and I've been very fortunate that it has created opportunities for me in terms of the words that I've used in there, making sure that they're SEO friendly. But I still, after chatting with you, want to go and redo the whole thing. And I think the two things that you said that are sticking with me the most are infusing personality and then creative writing, because I think that mine definitely is maybe more on the edge of like a resume, which is definitely one way to go about LinkedIn. But after chatting with you, I feel like spicing it up. So.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, honestly, a lot of people feel that way about LinkedIn. And I think that everyone is just so scared of standing out because it is a business website that everyone thinks they need to be on their best behavior. You know, like it's like that feeling when you have an interview and you're trying to prepare beforehand and you iron your shirt and you make sure none of your papers are wrinkled. You put them in this folder and you get there 30 minutes early because you're just so petrified of doing something wrong. And I think that's part of what makes social media so great is that you can show your own personality and you don't need to be afraid of it. And most likely when someone does hire you, it's going to be because of those specific skills that you offer and that you kind of let shine through. And it's because you stand out from the crowd.
Such a good point. Yeah. And to do with oversight marketing in particular, I think that is a term that you coined and that you mentioned really helped start off your own LinkedIn. Can you explain that one a little bit more for everyone?
Sure. So this is something that I love and I'm really passionate about. And what I've found is that there are two types of people online. The ones who pay attention and form educated responses before they comment, and then those that kind of shoot from the hip. And you see this all the time on social media posts. You see a comment and you're like, that doesn't even make any sense. What are they talking about? And it's because they were misled, let's say. Maybe they were misled by a title or a photo. So if you can attract both of these types of people to a post, you can create an insane amount of engagement on social media just by leveraging them off of one another. I call it oversight marketing, and I've proven it time and time again on my personal account. And if you go to any of my posts, you'll see it in the comment section. So I think that it's due to the decline in attention span. You know, something has happened in the last decade, I believe, with social media, and that our attention span has dropped down from 13 seconds to only 8 seconds. So,
Wow.
Yeah, we literally have less of an attention span than a goldfish at this point.
Oh no.
I know, it's terrible. So, those people who comment without being really well informed oftentimes fuel the fire. And they do that by sometimes making blanket statements. Sometimes they do it by making false accusations. And all that leads to a growing count of comments, engagement, views, shares, and whatnot. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've been able to distinguish this type of social media marketing, which I call oversight marketing, and it requires both a group of people who do not care to read the details of a post beforehand and also the type to make an educated decision. So, I've been able to use it over and over within the last year of being on LinkedIn, and I mean, I'm talking to you now, so I think that it's working.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to hear what everyone thinks about this as well. I feel like we've already asked so much of you and you've given so much advice. We always end the podcast with three quick takeaways. Maybe if you have a couple of lessons that you want to share about marketing a business on LinkedIn, since that's something that you've done so successfully.
Marketing a business on LinkedIn. Someone said this to me on Twitter the other day. They said, "Is it really all about how many connections you have? Is it not quantity or quality versus quantity?" And something came to mind for me, which was that you never know what someone has to offer. You never know who they're connected to or what experiences they have. And it's really key to be nice to everyone. And I accept people's connections because there's always an opportunity there for something. And I might not know what it is right that moment, but I'm sure there's something. There's some reason that we're supposed to work together. Also, the amount of work that you put in is equal to what you get out of it. We talked about rolling out the red carpet and really engaging with your following early on so that they become loyal followers along the way. And also, don't just think that by creating a profile, you're automatically going to be seen. You're really not. It's going to get buried. If you don't put any effort into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. And again, don't be afraid to speak your mind and let your own personality shine through. It may just be a business-minded network, but they're all looking for something, and it might just be what you've got to offer.
This is all wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Candace. This has just been a lot of great information about LinkedIn. I think people are going to love this.
Thank you, Haley. I've had a great time and can't wait for more.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Science of Social Media with our guest, Candace Gulick. And a huge thanks to Candace for sharing her LinkedIn marketing strategies with us. You can say hello to Candace on Twitter as @BikiniGeek or add her on LinkedIn. Brian and I are always really happy to hear from you on social media too. It seriously makes our day. Feel free to reach out on Twitter and use the hashtag BufferPodcast. And my handle is Haley Marie. That's HailleyMari. We'd be super happy to continue the conversation there. I'd also love to quickly mention that your ratings and reviews are super helpful in the growth of our show. If you've enjoyed our episode today, we'd really appreciate it if you'd be up for leaving a quick rating and review for us on iTunes. And if you'd like to hear more episodes like this about the very best in social media marketing, you can find The Science of Social Media on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Detailed show notes for this episode can be found at buffer.com/podcast. Until next time, have fun on LinkedIn.